The title, something special. Why this topic? I argued with the Lord a little bit about this, but then he confirmed it to me. So what makes something special? Okay, we hear that word a lot, don't we? I had to look it up, and I had such a revelation when I looked this up. The definition that we got from Webster. The term special refers to something that is unique, different from others, or designed for a particular purpose or occasion. It can also imply that something is out of the ordinary or better than the usual. I like that expression. It doesn't say it's better. It implies it. And maybe that's why people in the advertising world love the word special. Because it doesn't tell you it's better. It implies. And that's for your fault to take up on it and assume that's true. And let me tell you right now, I am going to lead heavily on the first part of that definition. And we're going to debunk the second part. Okay? When we talk about special, it's used a lot. There are special offers, right? Yeah. Somebody can have a specialty shop, right? You can also have a specialist. I mean, I am a specialist in teaching physics, okay? I am definitely not a specialist in plumbing, as my wife will easily attest to you any time or place. Okay? I have the history to back it up, too. Who else has ever broken a toilet? Me. Okay, just part of the humbleness that the Lord put into me. Ephesians 2:10, in which it talks about we are the workmanship. We are a handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That word in the Greek, teoemna, is, and that's in the Greek. It's been translated as masterpiece. Now, that sounds really good. Workmanship, handcrafted. In other words, you're not going to find it on eBay. It's on Etsy. You all get that difference, right?
Yes.
Right. eBay, schlock, it was cranked out overseas. Etsy, that's somebody in their back room creating something with their hand. Okay? So, in other words, God's telling us, we'd be offered more on Etsy than we would on eBay. Okay, we're Etsy quality. Okay. So can we agree what something special looks like? Everyone agrees this is a masterpiece, right? You know, when I was doing this, I started looking at it, and I began to realize why it was a masterpiece. Because Leonardo da Vinci captured something in the eyes and that also smile, almost smile that she has, it tells you something about her personally. Makes her special. Not just another portrait. There's something she's thinking right at that moment. You almost can feel it. Unique. Different. I guess that's what made it for artists and everything a specialty. But I want to start off with the topic special people. Okay? Who are special people? Well, let's go a little further. Another one. What kind of special people? Well, let's go with the world's view. Okay? What can you do? That's what the world says makes you special, right? What can you do? What makes you special? Huh? Okay? Well, we got categories. What kind of categories we got? First one that came to my mind was ability. Athletes, actors, musicians, artists. They crank out something that everybody agrees and usually pays a big price for. Either have them play or something else. They're special. Next. Wealth. Billionaires, philanthropists. They give away a ton of money, or they have a ton of money. They don't have to spend it. They have it. They're special. Right? Notice they're leaning heavily at celebrities. They're leaning heavily on the second definition, the implying better. That's the world. And the same with the fourth one, influence, media people. I love it. You can have somebody that has done absolutely nothing and they're special. Well, where's mine then, for crying out loud? I mean, okay. That's the world. Let's go on to something a little better. The Christian view. Who you are in God's eyes. And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, it's not who I am in your eyes. It's who I am in God's eyes. Okay? That's what makes us special. And this is going to be the focus of what we're covering today. Okay? Number one. You are a beloved creation. Okay? Genesis, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. I went through 20 versions of the Bible. It essentially said the same thing every time. And the second one, there's a second verse. Beloved child. Yeah. You are a beloved child. You're a creation, first of all. Even those people who aren't here, aren't in the church, don't believe in God, they're a creation of God, made in His image. Okay, but your beloved child, that's even more. And that's backed up, of course, by John and Galatians. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So it's both from John and Paul. We're children. That's interesting. And it brings up, especially when we talk between Jesus and Paul and others, there's almost a dichotomy that I discovered as the Lord opened this up to me. Are we a royal priesthood or merely servants? Is it a dichotomy? Is, you know, people who are skeptical, wouldn't they say, oh, see, there's a, no. Or is it truth? That's the thing. Okay? It's not a dichotomy. It's a truth. And here's where it comes from. We're royalty, right? Because we can quote scripture on this one. Luke 12:37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. These are Jesus' words. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. And will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. The master will come and wait on them because they were watchful and waiting and ready. Boy, doesn't that make you feel special? And yet, on the other hand, there's another verse, servanthood. Wasn't he really talking about that? Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that, you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Now, in the world's eyes, that doesn't make you special at all, does it? That's the world's eye. We look at it from the Lord's eye. And we understand that it's not a dichotomy, it's a truth. And something that helps make us as special as we are. Because then we go on to perspective. Ready? Perspective. Depends on whose perspective. Perspective. Whose perspective? We're royalty from God's perspective. But we're servants in our perspective. Notice I'm supposed to say, I'm an unworthy servant. I only have done my duty. Okay? But we're still special, ladies and gentlemen. Don't pick up the world's definition, the implication of greater. Okay? There were people who were brought in before an army besieged a town, and it even happened to Jerusalem. And they were a servant of this king that brought the army. And they were his servant. But they spoke up and said, you're doomed because my master the king's coming for you. They were special. Special servant. We're all special servants, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? And I think one of the biggest examples of this, and the best one, is in a parable that Jesus used. The prodigal son's return. For those who all know, the prodigal son went out, you know, I've got to make myself in the world. And he took his inheritance and just blew it, having one heck of a good time. Okay, and then he fell on hard times, famine, everything else. He couldn't get by. Finally come to the realization, hey, my father has servants who are living better than I am right now. And his attitude wasn't, I'm going to go back and claim my position. No. He came back to his father and he said, I am unworthy to be your son. Make me a servant out in your field. That was his perspective, which God shows is the perfectly correct perspective from his view. But then we also have the father's perspective. His father saw him in the distance, ran to meet him, ordered a robe, a ring on his finger to indicate his importance, and slaughtered the calf. Celebrate, my son who is dead is alive. And even his other son, who got a little gritty at the whole thing, and said, you haven't done anything, says, son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. But your brother was dead, he's alive now. We must celebrate. Okay? Perspective. The prodigal son had it, the other son didn't. He thought, I'm special in the important. That's part of what Jesus was saying. Specialness is never ranked by our Father in heaven. And if there's nothing else that comes from what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning, please grab onto this one. Specialness is never ranked in our Father's view in heaven. Okay? Unique, different, special for a purpose. Remember that part of the definition? Do you fit it? I bet you do. I bet you fit it perfectly. There is all kinds of things. And one special I didn't mention when I mentioned specialty shops and everything else because it wasn't up there. I forgot it. How about special ed? All the people under special education, they're special. I'll tell you, I have learned more from my wife being a special ed teacher, her insight to notice these people. And I'll tell you, you see them, you know how special they are. We have one that we meet on a regular basis. And I'll tell you, there's nobody who has more joy in their Christian walk than some of these special people, and especially that one we know. Unafraid to share the Lord, unafraid to witness wherever they go. Gosh, aren't they unique? They're special in the Lord's eyes. Aren't they unqualified? Even the one at your class that drug her around after she'd introduced them to the Lord, bellowing, introduce them to Jesus. Wherever she drug her. And yet, doesn't the world look down on those special people? Because they don't have the Lord's eyes to know how special they are. That's okay. The world doesn't know how special you are. But the Lord knows. Okay? There is no favoritism in God's sight. And there's scripture to back that up. First Acts 10:34. Excuse me. I always get that wrong. And then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. He was commanded to go to Cornelius, a Roman soldier. And an angel of the Lord had appeared to Cornelius. An angel of the Lord had not appeared to a lot of the chosen people, a few of them, but not a lot. And it showed up for this Roman. Because the angel said, your prayers have come up before the Almighty, the sweet, sweet incense. I'm always in there for the Gentile. Okay. Being married into a lot of Jewish family. And here's Roman. You know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism in him. Paul is mentioning this when he abjures masters not to treat their slaves poorly, because he says there's no favoritism. So in another scripture, Paul says Gentiles and Jews, he says there's no favoritism. Okay? They're alike. And if he makes that distinction, and he says God doesn't make that distinction, he doesn't make that distinction anywhere, any place. There is no greater than. And I will say this with great love, and please forgive me, I hope you love me, but unfortunately, the thing about comparison from the world seeps into the church all the time. And we look around, and there are people who look at somebody else in the church and say, oh, golly, they are so much better at being a Christian than I am. Hogwash! Absolute hogwash! They might have certain special, unique abilities that make them true for what they're doing, but so do you. So don't you go around comparing and ranking. Okay, I don't mind comparison when you can celebrate something. I celebrate their specialness. There's a lot of people in here, I celebrate your specialness. It's wonderful. And I was celebrated because we are supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice. But I will not put somebody up as higher or lower than me within the fellowship, because we are all brothers and sisters. Some are granted certain favor because of their work and support that we should give them. As Paul often said, and everything like that, we should support those who bring the word of the Lord. We should support those who go around and connect people and serve others. Mother Teresa in India is, I guess, an example even the world picked up on. But we should do it every day. And always remembering. Okay? And I got a great parable for this one. Parable of the talent. You notice there was no difference in the commendations for the first two servants. The one with five talents and the one with two talents. Both of them were told exactly the same thing when they returned and said, see, Master, what I've done. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Word for word, the same to both. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you in charge of many. Enter into the happiness of your Lord. The third one, the one that buried the talent, the Lord said, his master said to him, you could have given it to the bankers and I would have received it back with interest. And if he had, he would have received well and done, good and faithful servant. But he didn't. He was afraid. Fear stops a lot of us from using our special talent. Brothers and sisters, you've all got them. Special talents that the Lord has created in you, just like in me and everyone else, and you are called upon to use it. Please do not bury it. Okay? That is so important. Being special in the kingdom is not being raised up above others. Remember how Jesus reacted to his disciples arguing over who was the greatest among them? And they were arguing about it, mentioned twice in scripture. And he knew. And so one time, what did he do? He brought a child in front of him. He says, no, receive it like this child. Then, of course, he also washed their feet at the Last Supper, Passover, Seder. And he says, I'm your master and Lord. And you call me that, rightly so. And if I have done this to you, it's an example. And so we should always see ourselves as servants. I remember those 20 years I spent traveling around with a Christian theater group, usually a team of three or four beside myself. I was the team leader. Boy, that was a shock. I finally committed to the ministry and said, okay, I finished my bachelor's degree. Instead of going to graduate school right away, I blew that off and said, okay, I had it all set in my mind. I went to the leader of the group and I said, okay, I'm ready. Who are you sending me out with? And he says, I'll get back to you. And he got back to me and he says, you're going to lead a team. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That night, no sleep whatsoever. I had no idea what I'm leading a team? Wait a minute. Okay. And for 20-some years, the Lord had me do that. And I had to be not only leader, but the HR department and counselor and everything else for a team as we went around. And I remember one time especially, because this was a wonderful quote. I had to tell people on occasion, remember, God loves you. And he shook his head and he says, yeah, but he loves everybody. And I finally got an answer to him. Yeah, but he loves everybody in a special way. Every one of us in a special way, just as special as we are. Yeah, he loves everybody. He was saying, it doesn't make me special. He didn't understand that God loved him, especially knowing who he was. The Jeremiah quote we kind of missed there quickly, formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He's not captured by time. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what he's put in us and what we can do. He is so, so wonderful. Okay, so hopefully everybody's bought into the special part as people. Ooh, you're still going to love me? You have special responsibility. Oh, I know. Kind of scares me too. Reminds me, I've got to get that t-shirt that says unsupervised. Yeah, think of the possibility. Special responsibility that we have. And this can be one thing, love. Okay, it's simple, right? All you have to do is love. Oh, so simple to say, isn't it? How much is tied up in that word? Well, let's talk about God first, okay? Love God with worship. Jesus quoted to Satan, Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall worship the Lord God alone. Okay? First answer. You also should listen. It's on the next slide, Psalm 46:10 and Matthew 7:24. He says, be still and know that I am God. And if you're still, you're listening. And therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock to overcome the storm. We got to listen. Now, it may not always come as words. It may come as a feeling. It may come as somebody else's words to us. The Lord can speak to us in so many ways. He will speak to us through his word also. Amen. If we are ready to listen. But then, of course, how do you love God? Oh, yeah, you worship and you listen. Oh, I had to get to this, didn't I? Right? Obey. Okay, how do we obey? He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. They were telling how blessed are those, you know, that came from your womb. You know, and no, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it, Jesus said. And then James, of course, oh, he's so down on it. James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Of course, that means we have to study it. We have to look at it as it speaks specially to us, each and every one of us. Hasn't that always happened to you, brothers and sisters? You've read a passage. I've heard pastors say it up here. Read a passage you've read dozens of times, and all of a sudden you read it again, and all of a sudden, wham, there's a meaning that comes up and hits you. Doesn't it tell you something about the specialness? Not only you, but the Lord and his word. It can work time after time after time. I don't know about you, but there used to be this stuff, well, I think they still have it, Silly Putty, and we used to take it, and you could actually press it down onto the Sunday comic and pick up, and there'd be the image of it on there. We got to be Silly Putty. We got to press ourselves down into the word. And as we pull ourselves off, have the image with us. I mean, we won't exactly be like Moses, who was shining his face because he'd seen the Lord face to face. I mean, hopefully we can get something shining through with us. But love isn't just for God. Because like Miranda often starts each of her announcements about, we got to love people. This is where it gets sticky, right? Okay, I will admit it. I am really bad at this. I am so thankful every day that the Lord, that's a whole different story, how he turned me around to somehow end up with this wonderful woman I married to. But I've learned more about loving people from her than anyone. Okay? Unto the least of these. That's right there. Got to be. Now, it can be in the family. And I don't know how big or small your family is, but there can be some least of these in your family too. Okay? Got to be down to the least of these. Also in the fellowship. Okay? I admit it. The least of these, again, that sounds like ranking, isn't it? Yeah, I'm afraid that it creeps into the church. So the least of these, in somebody's estimation. But 1 Corinthians 12, 22 to 25. Paul says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts need no special treatment, there's that word again. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. As Paul said in another section, bear one another's burdens, but carry your own burden too. Part of our special. Very important. So, third one, all the world. Oh my God. We're supposed to love everybody. He said the enemies even. Love your enemies. Do good to those who treat you spitefully. And that is one of the hardest ones, isn't it? And love can be tough love too. Love doesn't mean, as some people in the world have tried to redo the scriptures, oh, love means you've got to agree with everything I say. No, it does not. It never did. Anybody who's raised a child will tell you that's true. But I want to. Yeah, well, you can't. Why not? Why? Yeah, why? Pick up a 2.5, 3. Why? Because I said so. You have to lean back into that all the time. Because if you don't, they're wonderful lawyers. They'll work their way around it. Just totally. So we know that we will love the world, even if it's in a way that they don't like. Because love will tell them the truth. And I know how hard that could be to tell the truth to the world because they don't want to hear it. But that's love. So let us love them. Okay, we're coming around to the last part here. Special time. Now, in today's world, modern world that we live in, not just here across the globe, pastors in India helping love some people, yeah? But the world looks at it, what have you done for me lately? Yeah, you want to be special? Come on. And not the last week. What now? Okay. Or time is money. I can't give you my time. It's too valuable. That's the world. Because I have things I want to do, even if it's just my wants. So let's talk about our special time. Redeeming opportunity. And I ask your forgiveness and my Lord's forgiveness because I am really bad on this. Doesn't he do that to them all the time? Keeps me asking me to speak on things that I'm really lousy at. Redeeming opportunities. We gotta, number one, see them, but we gotta prioritize them. Purity of the urgent versus his priorities. And I am so guilty of this, brothers and sisters, so bear with me, but it is true, tyranny of the urgent versus his priorities. I allow the tyranny of the urgent to take away his priorities and give. We should give our time, okay? And it's so important to give our time. It is not ours. It is just like everything else we have received from the Lord. It is his. Why don't you give him a tithe of your time back? You ever thought of that? I mean, we talk about time, talent, and, you know, money. Give money. Okay, sometimes we give talent, 10%. How about your time? And I don't just mean Bible study. I mean, while you're busy doing something and your eye catches something that will put you off your schedule a little, guilty, and you see a need that the Lord has brought to you and you need to step up and do something. Give your time. Because they come and go. And I have been guilty of burying part of my time under the urgent, just as that lousy servant did. So, but the last one, don't you hear that like that? This is a limited time offer, special for today. It's often said, now is the day. Now is the time. Now, right now. All we have is right now. We don't have anything else. We certainly can't go back and pick up tomorrow. We can't go back and pick up yesterday. We can't reach forward and pick up tomorrow. We have right now. What's it? So is the Lord calling you, you special you, each and every special you, to do something now? In this time of fasting, when we have offered something to the Lord, hopefully it is working out for you. It is tough for me. I gave up something I really like doing on computer and stuff like that, and I gave it up. And I'm really, really done. In fact, I find my steps walking over to that, and I turn right around. Oh, yeah. Lord help me. But now is the time. If the Lord is laying something special on your heart to commit to, I say that this altar area is open. Pray with me. I'll pray with you. The Lord can give us maybe a special opportunity. And as was turned into a meme, isn't that special? Not meant the way they use it. The derogatory front of the church. But a good one. Some people are like. So I want to offer this altar area. I will be here. So please come forward. Let us pray together and offer ourselves especially to the Lord.